If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment cause chaos. Use ShipStation instead. From running a business out of your garage to multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating tasks, plus you'll get the best shipping rates from global carriers. Calm the chaos with the shipping software that delivers. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
I'm Lauren Mathias, and we are recapping the Megan Boswell trial, so you do not have to watch hours of courtroom coverage each day. Or if you do want to watch full trial coverage, we'll still be here to break it down for you. And for the full backstory on the Megan Boswell case, head to our link in the description of this episode. Day 4 of the Megan Boswell trial started with Steve Williams, who was the Lieutenant of Criminal Investigations at the Sullivan County Sheriff's Office when the investigation first began. Steve interviewed Megan at the Sheriff's Office, but he also listened to other interviews that had been done between Megan and other law enforcement officials during this investigation to find out where Evelyn was. The interview starts off on a pretty interesting note. Take a listen.
Hello.
I'm Steve Williams. Hold on just a second. Don't go nowhere.
I can't go nowhere.
They've been talking to you about your child, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And where is your, where's the last time you saw your child? I'm coming home and telling her.
Right after Christmas.
Where?
Ethan.
Okay. And you say Ethan, does that mean Ethan's in Louisiana or Ethan's?
In Blumville. Like I told him, I don't know if he took and dropped her off somewhere right after I dropped her to him, but I don't know what's going on.
Where did you give her to Ethan?
Blumville. I was your grandparent's house.
Okay. And what's his grandparent's name?
I know his grandma's name is Sherry, but I do not know his grandpa's name.
Okay. Have you ever been there?
Once or twice.
And you've met him?
I've met Carl.
And that's his grandpa?
Yes.
Okay. And
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to tell you I didn't know his name, but as soon as you asked me, it spit around my mouth.
All right, that's no problem.
Do I have any questions here on that?
No, no. We'll be done in just a few minutes.
Okay.
Why are you in a hurry?
I mean, like, no, but if they're going to keep questioning me and keeping me alive, like, I want an attorney.
Okay.
Because I'm not lying to them.
Okay. Well, do you want to talk to me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Megan goes on to say that the last time she saw Evelyn, her own daughter, was on Christmas Day when she took Evelyn to Ethan's grandparents. She claimed that she did not walk inside, but just stood in the driveway.
And you dropped Evelyn?
Mm-hmm.
And?
So the car's in his car and everything.
What kind of car was he driving?
A 2018 Nissan Versa. It's black.
Okay. And then? That was Christmas Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then after Christmas Day, do you communicate with him?
He won't talk to me.
But?
On New Year's Eve, and sort of on New Year's, I guess, me and him argue back and forth.
On text message or,
no,
or actually?
On the phone.
Okay, so actually talking.
Yes, he would get mad and hang up, and I'd call back, and he'd answer for a little bit, get mad and hang up, and he just would answer. And
did he say he had Evelyn then?
Yes. And I left him tons of voicemails, and I was like, look, like, if you want me to leave where I'm at, like, I'll come to the New Year's with you and Evelyn. Like, I just want to see her as a family, you know what I mean? But I'll come to where you are.
Where was he at then?
I think he was at his friend's house.
Who's his friend?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Friend around here or friend?
Friend around here.
Okay. And you don't know who his friend is?
He doesn't tell me anything.
Okay. How long had y'all dated before?
Like 3 years, maybe four.
Okay. But you
3 years, his, yeah.
And you didn't know his friends?
No, he would. I was never allowed to be around any of his friends.
Okay. And then, did you ever call him and say, hey, where's Evelyn? It's been 2 weeks.
I've tried to call, and he won't answer. I would leave voice messages, he wouldn't call back. And honestly, like I was telling them, like I had Evelyn for like over a year and he never checked on her and I just bore her by myself. So when I got up here, I was like, you can take care of your daughter for a little bit. Not that I don't love my daughter or want to be with her, you know what I'm saying? But I was like, you don't help me at all. I want you to see how it feels. No, no help.
So he didn't help you financially or
no
taking care of her? No. He was in the military.
Yeah, like he would never even be like, hey, like, is she okay? Or like, try to check on her, help me at all.
Does
you know?
He live in my house? Dinner?
I don't know.
And you don't know where she's at? And the last time you saw her was Christmas.
Right.
Have you went to his grandparents' house?
Yeah, but nobody was there when I went. Okay.
Have you called them and asked them where she's at? Okay. And what brought you here today?
I guess my dad called.
So you still hadn't heard from her, but somebody's called about her?
Yeah.
Right. And you have no idea where she's at? Okay. Have you tried to find her?
I mean, yeah, like I called and you won't answer me. I didn't know you went back to the Army until today. Like that was news to me when they came in here like, oh, he's from Louisiana.
Have you went to court?
No.
To
be honest with you, I was really trying to be civil over it. And like I said, I supported her for like over a year. And I was like, if you want to keep her for a little bit, like that's fine by me. You know what I'm saying? My mom had a baby when I was like 12, 13. I don't remember. It's 2013, so I guess I was 12. And like I had basically raised him. She knows when I was 15. Like I had basically raised her. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was like I had three kids all the time.
Okay.
And I was like, it's his kid. If he wants to keep her for a little bit, like, by all means, you know what I mean, I'm all for it. And like I said, something I love Evelyn or want to be with her, but it's just, you know what I mean, it's what it is.
This, of course, contradicts earlier trial testimony in the trial where Ethan testified he never saw Evelyn that day. And Megan seems pretty nonchalant and perhaps even annoyed to be interviewed about her missing daughter, at least from what was played in the courtroom. After they played the interview, Lieutenant Williams was cross-examined. Attorney Scott brought up when Megan mentioned an attorney, but Lieutenant Williams was quick to say she didn't ask for an attorney. She said, quote, if this happens, I want an attorney, end quote. Megan also asked him if she needed an attorney on his way out of the room after the interview, and on the stand, he testified that he told her he couldn't answer that for her. The second witness on the stand was Joey Strickler. At the time of Evelyn's disappearance, he was working at the Sullivan County Sheriff's Office as captain of criminal investigations, although he now works as a victim witness coordinator for the DA's office. Throughout the investigation into Evelyn's disappearance, Joey worked as a liaison between all of the different agencies involved, which included Sullivan County, the TBI, and the FBI. He also interviewed Megan twice on February 20th. Megan started off by not asking about her missing child in this interview. Instead, she asked about her alleged boyfriend Hunter's past history. So interesting, not asking about Evelyn, asking about Hunter. Take a listen.
Hey, I'm Joey Stricker. I'm the captain of criminal investigations. They called your boyfriend Hunter.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be, I reckon he's supposed to come to big kid.
I was wondering how my mom didn't.
No, you want your mom, not him?
Yes.
Okay, I can do that. Take care.
Okay, well, can I ask you something? You answer me honestly. Okay, so, like, when I got another cop's car, he was told me, like, Hunter had, like, orders of protection against him or, like, domestic assault or something.
I can find out. I don't know.
Can you tell me that?
Oh, I could tell you that if I need it, but I can find out for you.
Can you?
Sure.
I mean, I'm not trying to mean like he does. Like, I just really, like, don't want to be around that kind of person, you know what I mean?
I don't blame you.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find out for you.
Joey continued to try to talk with Megan to see if she would give any more information regarding Evelyn.
You know, I've been watching, you know, the videotapes. I've been watching it. I've been doing this a long time. I've been a cop for 30 years. And it breaks my heart to see a young lady like you. And you have a child, we don't know where it's at.
Did you watch me cry? I was trying not to cry for them.
That's okay, though. That's okay. Because the fact of the matter is, you give a Maggie that rhyme, that precious little baby's somewhere. I don't know. And I honestly believe, I want to believe that you would tell us in a heartbeat if you knew where that child was at. And is there any way that you could think, maybe help me to find that little baby?
That's okay.
I know you've not seen her in a while, and we've been talking to even we've had him on the phone. We've had his captain on the phone, and we've been talking and trying to find this baby. Is there any way that somebody has that baby that's a friend of yours or a family member that's afraid that if they're afraid to tell us or they're afraid that you'll tell us so they keep?
I don't know if you know that I dropped your officer very well, Captain. I was trying really hard to cry, but I was like thinking about her. I dropped her off and she's asking what she's wearing and stuff like that, and I'm sorry.
That's okay. I understand. Please, we're just trying to find out what happened to that little thing. And, I'm a daddy, and it breaks my heart to know that this child could be with someone that don't love it, that don't take care of it, or, God forbid, something bad's happened to that baby. And, the thing about it is, everybody's going to point back to you because you're the mama. And you're the mama that let the baby go. When I say let the baby go, I mean you're the one that took the baby and said, here.
I know, but I was scared of her dad, and I thought it'd be okay.
You say you thought it'd be okay. Do you think something's happened to it?
I mean, no, but I mean, I didn't think that, I wasn't going to see her for months at a time or something like that. But I did. And when it all started happening, I was like, oh, well, I don't want to be my mom just to try to, like, solve myself. I don't want to do that. I'm saying, okay, I don't want to be that person who does all that. And, I just worried her for over a year about myself. And I was like, if he wants to keep her for a little bit, it's Vaughn.
But how old are you, may I ask?
18.
You're just a young lady yourself. You're a brand new mama. You just don't into a different world, wasn't you? And I can understand you feeling that way and saying, hey, I just want a little bit of time to myself, a little bit of time to be me before I have to be a mama. And you had all these things that happened so quick to you. Bless your heart. My heart goes out to you. But I'm telling you, we got to find that little thing. We got to find her. And do you remember when she broke her arm? Somebody said she broke her arm.
I don't know if she actually broke her arm or not. I just know it was bruised. I never saw it, so I don't know.
You never saw the bruise?
No.
And did this happen after you gave her to you? Okay. Well, now, when they say that you dropped the baby off at his parents?
His grandparents. Me and him stood outside. We didn't go in.
And who was the baby at?
On my head. And then I let her kind of like go to him to get used to him. And I stayed about 30 minutes and she was fine.
So he, okay, did the grandparents ever come out?
No.
They never really come out?
No.
Okay. And then that was the last time you seen her?
No, I saw her the next day.
You went back and seen her the next
day? Just first day, and me and brought into it, he told me to leave.
Okay, who was with you when you went back
in? It was just me.
Just you. Now, was you dating anybody during that time after you left?
Hunter. But I didn't really tell me and Ethan were into it.
Okay. So you went from Ethan to Hunter. Okay.
Then the interview shifted focus towards Ethan, who at the time of this interview was the alleged father of Evelyn. We know now that Ethan was not and is not Evelyn's father. But Megan said that she met Ethan as a freshman in high school. She also talked about her trip to visit him while he was in the military and said that after she went on that trip, she brought Evelyn back home with her. When asked about moving out of the trailer and moving in to live with Hunter, she had some interesting things to say.
You stayed there, and then you moved out of there and moved in with Hunter?
Yeah.
Okay. Did Hunter ever see the baby?
Yeah. Not much. I won't lie to you just because I'm worried about bringing Evelyn around people, you know what I'm saying?
So. I understand that.
And also at the time, I'm not going to lie, like Hunter told me he was on probation. We went and told him about four, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, iffy on who I bring her around, you know what I mean?
Okay. So you was thinking that you were doing the best for your baby by
not having her around.
Him and...
I know that sounds bad, but like now that I know him better, I don't mean he's a bad person, don't get me wrong, you know what I'm saying? But I only known him about like a couple weeks when I was dealing with him, you know, when I was kind of like kicking me out, you know.
Okay.
Didn't really have any real skills.
But that led you to, I guess what I'm trying to say though is, that was a natural route for you to go as far as if you wanted someone to watch Evelyn was take her to Ethan.
Yeah, her dad.
Her dad, okay.
What's one financial lesson you learned the hard way? I'll go first. It's not too late to start saving. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you have right now. And one of the best things about Acorns is they allow you to see projected growth on their website. Simply go online, type in how much money you'd put in, and see the potential future balance of your account. Sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/hiddentruecrime or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/hiddentruecrime. Hormonal changes are so hard, to say the least. Hot flashes, anyone else? Add in the thousands of hormone disruptors that are in our environment, and it is even worse. From our water, food, the air we breathe, and the clothes we wear, they are everywhere. But the good news is that when Hormone Harmony enters the picture, it can help reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is a supplement that contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. The best thing about adaptogens, they help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Hormone Harmony is actually part of my personal 2024 playbook. Hormone Harmony makes no compromises when it comes to quality, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. That's happy, H-A-P-P-Y, mammoth, M-A-M-M-O-T-H.com. Just use the code HiddenTrueCrime at checkout. That's code HiddenTrueCrime. Use that with happymammoth.com for 15% off today.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Joey explained to Megan that they were going to put a nationwide alert out on Evelyn. And he really seemed to try to be appealing to her emotions to get her to help with the search and with this missing child case.
I just pray to the good Lord above that we're going to find her. And we're going to find her alive. And find her well taken care of. Because I've been doing that a long time. And the worst thing that I've ever had to deal with is the death of a child, or a baby that's been hurt, or a baby that's been abused. And I have, you know, I have a lot of nightmares about that. And it's been several, too many to count through the years. And all I want to do is stand up for that little baby that may not be able to stand right now. And I need your help. I do. I need your help. And if you can think of any way, fashion, or form, to know where that baby's at, or where, just to point me in the right direction, Please tell me. Please tell me. I want to bring it back in. Bring her back in.
I don't know.
Is there any way that can you tell me a reason why that you didn't reach out since Christmas to the family to try to find Emily and talk to her? Just see that and even put her on the phone, let me speak to her.
Because I was really just trying to resolve it between Ethan, to be honest with you.
You was what?
Just trying to resolve it between the two.
So, what do you tell me what you think? What do you think happened?
I don't know. I think they got her encounter out for someone else to want.
Do you think Ethan has hurt her?
No.
Did you hurt her?
No.
Would Hunter hurt her?
No. Ethan would get mad and threat me all the time, but he never actually did anything. You know what I mean?
Did he ever show any aggression or anger toward your little baby?
No.
You never seen that?
No.
You said that she had a bruise on her arm earlier. How did she, do you know how the bruise happened that you think is?
She fell off the bed. That's what I
was told. Where at?
At Ethan.
Did that happen? Did you ever see the bruise and stuff? You never did see the bruise or the broke arm or anything like that? So you did have some telephone conversation, apparently, with Ethan about her.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is weird. Because the thing that we're being told is that by him, he's like, I'm not seeing her.
He has seen her. I swear to you, he has.
When the last time you seen that little thing?
On Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. He had her then, but I had her for a little bit on Christmas. So me and my family's hungry, went fishing forage every Sunday night. I mean, that Christmas Day, and my brother got her and stuff, and I took it to him.
They're on off of Hartown. Did you get to see her that day?
Yes.
What did you take to her that day?
I don't know what my brother got her, but I got her a little horse and baby shark stuff and clothes and stuff like that.
After playing the first video, Court took a little bit of a break before playing the second video, and the second interview was different from the first. By this point, it seems like Joey is already considering Megan to have something to do with Evelyn's disappearance, but Megan continues shifting the blame.
I have, been a couple long time, and I've got some my own feelings about this stuff. But just something just not adding up. It's just not adding up. And if there's something that you think in your mind, anyway, fashion informed that you could think.
Well, I was talking to Dad today, and he don't really talk to Mom, and that she said we all just started going down, she was gonna have to disappear, that she was gonna go to jail. I don't know what's going on.
Your mom had that something?
So it all just started going on, because he called her the night before he talked to you all, and he told her what he was going to do, and then she said, well, you can't do that, this is what he told me, I'll have to disappear, I can't come back to that, I'm going to go, I don't know what, I hope she can do anything too.
I thought Ethan had the baby.
I thought he was stupid, but this is just what my dad told me before. I promise you, I talked to him on the phone on my way down here. Because I called my grandma first. I wanted to stop down there for a few years. I don't know why he talked to you. But he called me.
So she probably told you that he has talked to...
No, this was before he called up here.
Okay, but he has talked to your mom.
A couple days ago. And he told me that he lied to her, well, and me, and said that DCS was going to do a whole visit on the lodge because he thought that she was going to resolve it.
And so he basically, with what he said to Angel, man, help me with this. Because he told Angel that he was going to send DCS to you.
And
all
the
analytics
stuff. And he told me that she said, oh, what? I'll have to leave, but like nobody can ever find me again. Like I'm here in the jail. I'm sorry, I'm not here. I should have so much broken things.
Okay. And then Angel said that she was going to ride, but she's going to leave and stuff.
Well, that's what she told Dad apparently. And Dad told me that, he lied to her and said that DCS was going to do a checkup on Elijah so he could get him from her, my little brother. And then they met at Eagle that, like, she was crying and, like, wouldn't say anything to Dad or anything like that.
Okay.
And she was got freaking out. I'm sorry, I just always had, like, so much faith in the mom and the fact that even the thought that she would do anything just really, like, I'm sorry, that's why my first question was, hey, have you all talked to her? Then yesterday, the whole way up here, she was like, bitching at me, saying that, like, I won't lie, I lied, she didn't run out of gas, she just wouldn't tell me.
I'm sorry. You wouldn't tell them, that's hard work, so you wouldn't tell them the truth.
I'm sorry. But she was like, bitching at me and saying that she wouldn't come up here, she didn't want you to be, like, seen, blah, 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 stuff like that.
She didn't
want to be seen.
She wanted to be okay.
Stuff like that.
Do you think she's in that car, that BMW?
Yeah.
Is the last time you seen her, she's in the BMW?
Yeah,
so
she got me out
to Elmer Shelter. Oh, okay. That was the day that she walked up here.
Yeah.
Okay. Was McCloud with her?
Yeah.
Did he drive, or did she drive?
He usually drives.
He was driving that day. Okay, and whose car is that? Whose Beamer is that?
Well, Hunter gave it to her, but he didn't get the title fight over there.
Okay, so that car should be in Hunter's name?
I think it's his brother's name, that's why he didn't get the title fight over there. It was Hunter's car, but Tanner was going to buy it, and then Tanner backed out on it.
When Megan was asked if she had one shot to get her baby back, where she would go, Megan started talking about Mendota, saying that her mom and her mom's boyfriend had been trying to get her to go up there. As a quick side note, you'll remember that she also brought Mendota up in a TV interview.
Well, actually, I want to talk about that. I've told TBI where to find her in Mendota. My mom took her to a campground and a silver camper, and if they don't go tonight, I'm going to go find her myself. Because I've told them, and they're not really, like, taking it seriously, and if they don't go tonight, like, I will go myself.
When asked about how Megan gave Evelyn over to Ethan to kind of figure out how her mom was brought into it, this is what Megan had to say.
Now, you know, I know that you said that you gave Evelyn over to Ethan.
Okay. The mom also told me that she talked to Ethan since then.
Your mom has talked to Ethan since then?
That's what I don't know, like 110%. That's just what I've been told.
She told you that? Angel told you that?
Yeah. If you want questions or inquire, then you please not tell her that I like.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Don't you worry about that. Okay. Let me tell you, don't worry about it. I want her. I want your baby back. Okay? I want Evelyn. I want her back. Safe and sound. I want her. Those pictures of her, that picture of her and you, I'll be honest with you, I got that from my law, my office of you and her. But that makes me want to go that much farther and try to find her, okay? And it breaks my heart to know that she, I don't know where she's at, you know? Could she be with someone else? Could they be treating her good? I mean, is she okay? That type of thing. And then on the other side of the coin, oh dear God, could somebody have killed her? Could that little baby be in a ditch line somewhere, or maybe in a trash pile or something like that? And that's what got me. But you said Angel has talked. She says that she's talked.
Yeah.
To stop and eat meat. And you pretty firm that if you gave let Ethan take care of her right at Christmas. Was it Christmas Day or?
No, it was Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Me and my family went to Pigeon Forge and I dropped her off before we left.
Your little girl did not go with you to Pigeon Forge.
Me, Hunter, and Dad, my brother, his wife, and like their kids with.
Where'd y'all go to when y'all went to Pigeon Forge? Just ask them.
We went out to eat at Olive Garden, and then we went to Rockdown Park, and then we all stayed at Margaritaville Island Inn.
I'll take number four, pretty nice place. So you come back on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
And then you went back over. Did you see her on Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay, so you went back on Christmas Day.
I had her Christmas Day.
Did you get to see her?
Yeah.
Did you let you hold her or anything? What time did you go about Christmas Day?
I don't really know, to be honest with you. I went to my brother's, picked the stuff up, probably got like four or something, so I guess it was after that.
So you took presents to me?
Yeah.
At Eaton's. And you picked up there. Did you get to go in or did you just end up?
No, he always
did.
He said I'm fine.
And then you took the little girl Christmas presents, and then you got to hold her hand, and then you gave her back.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why you just didn't say, come on, we're going back with Mama?
She started reaching for him, but I didn't want to take her from him.
She started reaching for him?
Yeah. I just thought she wanted to be there. I didn't want to take her. And honestly, like, I just wanted to pray.
After the second interview was played, a lunch break happened before Joey was back on the stand. The defense just asked a few questions about the timing of the interviews and how long in between each interview. There wasn't much beyond that before Joey was released from the stand. After Joey testified, the state called FBI agent Jeff Blanton. Agent Blanton interviewed Megan on February 19th, 2020, with another law enforcement member. However, the interview was not recorded because FBI policy doesn't allow any interviews to be recorded when they are not taking place on FBI property. Agent Blanton said that Megan told them that she had dropped Evelyn off with Ethan at his grandparents on Christmas Eve alone, but the last time she saw her was on Christmas Day. Blanton and Megan talked a lot then about Ethan.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with. Like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
It's your belief that the last day it was December 25th?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. To your knowledge, did she tell you whether or not she'd ever left Evelyn with Ethan Perry prior to this time?
I don't recall that she indicated she had ever left her daughter with Ethan Perry prior to this.
Did she talk at all about the fact that Ethan was in the Army?
Yes, ma'am, she did.
Okay. What did she say about that?
She told me that Ethan was in the Army, that he was home on break, and she was going to let her daughter Evelyn stay with Ethan, who she indicated was his biological father, for the holiday.
Okay.
And that he also indicated that his contract was up or was soon to be up with the Army.
Okay. So after that date, December 25th, did the defendant indicate that she continued to go over to Ethan's house to try to see Evelyn?
No, ma'am, she did not.
Okay. So did she tell you she did not try to go back over?
Yes, ma'am. I recall having a conversation, and she said that she called, I think, on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
But that she did not see Evelyn. There was some discussion she indicated between her at some point. I don't know if it was the 24th or 25th. I don't recall specifically. Maybe both days. She said they did get to an argument that Mr. Perry said that he was going to try to get custody.
Okay. So she's telling you that Ethan had threatened her.
With attempting to get custody of Evelyn, yes, ma'am.
Did she show you any proof of any custody paperwork at any time?
She did not. I recall asking her who the biological father was on the birth certificate, and she indicated that it was not Mr. Perry. But I don't have any recollection of who that person was, if listed at all.
So at some point she told you Ethan Perry was not the father?
Not listed on the birth certificate.
Not listed on the birth certificate. Okay, I apologize. Okay. So did Megan ever say why she hadn't contacted law enforcement when she could not get in touch with Ethan Perry?
Yes, ma'am, she did. I asked that question, and she said that because Mr. Perry had made threats that he would attempt to gain custody of the child, that she was fearful if she went to law enforcement that would further anger him and bolster his case about getting custody of the child.
Okay. Okay, so Megan has told you that she's never left Evelyn to stay with Ethan before this date. Did she ever explain to you why she felt like it was okay to leave Evelyn with essentially a stranger to Evelyn?
She indicated that she was, I recall her using the words worn out.
Okay.
That Evelyn was attached to her at the hip, and okay, she needed a break, that she had taken care of Evelyn for a year, and she felt like it was time for Mr. Perry to step up.
Okay.
And that she had also been taking care of her father or stepfather's children, other children in the home.
Okay.
And she was tired.
Did she indicate whether or not she could handle Evelyn herself?
She indicated she was just getting too much to handle. Yes, ma'am.
Blanton testified that Megan was very matter-of-fact during the interview, but said that Megan did tear up when he explained that she could be charged with a felony if she was lying. Cross-exam was similar to others, with Attorney Scott mostly just asking questions about the time and the date of the interview, clarifying sort of those logistics of this interview. The last witness was former TBI agent David Gratz. Gratz's testimony took up most of the afternoon, as he was the TBI agent assigned to the case during the investigation. The Amber Alert poster was shown in court, and you could see Evelyn's purple Penguin pajamas that she was found in. On February 19th, Gratz went to the trailer home where Megan and Evelyn had been living to meet with Austin Feller, the guy who cleaned out the trailer. At that point, there were new people living in the trailer, but they were informed that Megan had left things behind. And when they searched the shed next to the trailer, they found a pink and black stroller that was believed to be Evelyn's. This stroller was also in the courtroom on Saturday, and Gratz confirmed that was the stroller that he found.
I'm going to ask if you can identify this piece, if you can recognize what that is.
Yes, I recognize that.
Okay, and what is it?
It's the stroller we found at the defendant's former trailer.
Okay.
Gratz shared that law enforcement was working long hours on the case, and he talked about an interview he did with Megan that started shortly before midnight on the 19th of February and went to almost 3 a.m. Megan stuck to her story about dropping Evelyn off with Ethan. At this point, the court took a quick break before resuming questioning of Gratz. There was another interview that Gratz was present for on the 21st of February, and before that interview, Megan consented to law enforcement taking some items of hers from Hunter's house. And this included a Polaroid photo Megan took in North Carolina, brochures from the same trip, the photos of Megan and Hunter at the aquarium that we saw last week, and a Thinking of You card. There were also photos of Evelyn and photos of Evelyn with Megan that were taken from Hunter's house, as well as the baby shark blanket and the shirt that Erica Stacy testified about last week. Those two were found in a memory box. When the jury returned, Agent Gratch showed a memory book to the courtroom belonging to Megan that had things like ultrasounds and other photos of Evelyn. And in an interview with Gratz and another investigator named Matt Price, Megan began saying her mother had Evelyn. However, after Angela and her boyfriend William were located in North Carolina, Gratz said there was no evidence Evelyn was ever in their custody. A few days later, Megan showed up to the police station and asked for a search party to go to Mendota. She explained she was afraid that if she went alone, she could be charged with tampering with evidence. Gratz also stated that at that point in the investigation, investigators were beginning to think Evelyn may no longer be alive, mostly because of the conflicting information and Megan's attitude. He even asked Megan if it's possible that Evelyn died from an accident or something like a breathing issue. But Megan said no. After that interview, Gratz offered to lead Megan out a side door to avoid media attention, but it seemed as though she was already anticipating speaking to the media that day and went out the front door, which we now know is where and when she lied about the polygraph test and being pregnant. Later, during his testimony, Gratz reiterated what took place when he and Brian Fraley searched the playhouse and located Evelyn in the trash can on March 6, 2020. He stated that after Fraley removed the top bag from the trash can, he began to smell decaying human flesh for the first time and saw a small leg. He discussed the process of removing Evelyn from the trash can on the porch of the playhouse and reviewed the photos of her remains. He also stated that when they removed the bag containing her body, it left an imprint in the trash below. Gratz also mentioned that there was a piece of gum stuck to the trash can, which was collected for DNA evidence. All of the items, including the foil, the blanket, bags, the trash can, and more items, they were all sent to the TBI lab for analysis. And after the body was sent to a forensic center in Johnson City, an autopsy concluded that the remains thrown in the trash were that of little baby Evelyn. Day five began by continuing testimony from former TBI Special Agent David Gratz. Assistant DA Amber Massengill questioned Gratz about the contents found within the playhouse on the Boswell compound. Gratz explained that these items were sent to the TBI forensic lab for analysis, and he presented each item to the jury as well. These items included the white kitchen trash can where Evelyn was found, the purple penguin onesie she was wearing, as well as the gray fleece blanket and aluminum foil wrapped around her body. Viewing these in person was much more impactful than simply viewing photos, as evidence of decomposition could be seen on each item in the courtroom. He explained that pieces were cut out of the trash can for forensic testing and that there was dust placed on it as well to pick up any potential fingerprints. Massengill asked Agent Gratz whether law enforcement searched the Boswell compound prior to the day Evelyn was found, to which he replied yes. However, he stated that they didn't search the playhouse before it was suggested by Tommy because they had no reason to believe the playhouse was involved in her disappearance. He also stated that Tommy Sr. was thoroughly investigated. That's Megan's father. And they had no reason to believe that he was involved in Evelyn's disappearance or had knowledge that Evelyn had been placed in the playhouse. Massengill questioned Gratz about all of the other potential suspects. That included Ethan Perry, who back then was considered Evelyn's father, Angela Boswell, that's Megan's mother, William McLeod, that's Evelyn's mother's boyfriend, and Hunter Wood. That was Megan's alleged boyfriend, Hunter. And he said that they were all thoroughly investigated and determined to not be involved in Evelyn's disappearance in any way.
Is there any individual that the investigation continued to point at?
There was one individual.
Okay, who was that?
It was the defendant.
Okay.
Next was defense attorney Gene Scott's turn to question Agent Gratz about the other potential suspects. He asked if Hunter Wood's DNA was collected, and Gratz said that it was not. Then Scott said, quote, "In fact, Hunter refused to provide his DNA to law enforcement," end quote, which Gratz agreed. Scott then said, quote, "So his DNA could not be compared with any of the DNA found where the body was found," end quote. Gratz stated that even though his DNA was not processed against the DNA found at the playhouse, his fingerprints were collected after he was booked into jail for an unrelated charge. Next, Scott wanted to discuss Hunter Wood's mental health. Gratz said that during the time of the investigation, he was unaware that Hunter was actually diagnosed with schizophrenia until a much later date. Now, last week, we learned that he was in a mental hospital, and now we are learning more about that, and we are learning about schizophrenia when it comes to Hunter. In a bizarre line of questioning, Scott asked Gratz if he was aware of a connection between people with schizophrenia and tinfoil hats. There was an objection to this question, and Scott rephrased by saying, quote, "Did you give any consideration to the possibility that the tinfoil on the baby could have been placed there by someone with mental health issues?" End quote. Gratz stated that they did a significant investigation into the tinfoil, but really only the forensic side of things and not necessarily any symbolic meaning it could have. Scott then made this remarkable statement regarding a possible connection, this tinfoil hat statement.
Short of forensic analysis, did you all investigate, you know, is there something that might make someone place tinfoil on a child? Like, for instance, people with schizophrenia are known to wear tinfoil hats.
Your
Honor, Agent Gratz, did you investigate any connection between mental health and whoever placed a tinfoil on this child?
I'm not aware of any theories of like mental health issues is concerned with tinfoil. So nothing specific like that was ever investigated. Does that answer your question?
To your knowledge, did anyone in your prosecution team do that?
As far as mental health issues and tinfoil
yes.
hats?
Yes.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
There was a quick objection, and I think most people can agree that insinuating people with schizophrenia wear tinfoil hats, and that would be a reach. Calling someone a tinfoil hat wearer is usually a negative way to describe someone who is paranoid, suspicious, or believes in conspiracy theories. While people who have schizophrenia may experience delusions and paranoia, saying that they are known to wear tinfoil hats is an untrue generalization. And also, there are already people pointing out that the depiction of someone wearing a tinfoil hat is vastly different from a foil that is tightly wrapped around Evelyn's entire head and upper body. Next, Scott questioned Gratz about the searches that were conducted on the Boswell compound. He testified about a team and cadaver dogs searching the property on February 23rd, but the dog didn't hit on any areas that day. Three cadaver dogs were taken to Megan's trailer on February 21st as well, but no hits were made there either. Attorney Massengill came back for a brief redirect and asked Gratz if he felt like his team followed up on every possible lead they could during the investigation, and he said yes. She began to ask him if, out of the 20-plus people that were interviewed, if any ever saw Hunter with Evelyn. But there was an objection, and he was unable to answer that question. Next on the stand was a lieutenant with the Sullivan County Sheriff's Office, Matt Price. Most of his involvement in the investigation included conducting interviews primarily with Megan. He also assisted at the scene where Evelyn was found by placing various trash items into evidence bags. Lieutenant Price held up some of these items, such as water bottles, a baby bottle, a receipt, a tissue, rubber gloves, all of which were collected from the bags inside the white trash can. Next, an interview from February 20th was played between Lieutenant Price and Megan, in which she starts telling the new story of her mom taking Evelyn to the Mendota campground. At first, she stated that she had a gut feeling that Ethan may have been the one to give Evelyn to her mom. However, it's clear from their questioning that they didn't believe this version of events, especially based on her text message history that they had between her and her friends, where she claimed that Ethan had her the entire time. At one point during the interview, the investigator stepped out so that Tommy could talk to Megan about everything going on. In the footage, Tommy could be heard telling Megan, quote, "You need to tell the truth. If you tell lies, you dig a hole you can't get yourself out of," end quote. Megan then insisted that she was finally telling the truth and then perpetuated the lie about Angela having Evelyn.
"Because if you tell this lie, you tell that,
You know, I really didn't want to think they were looking into her because she took off yesterday when she got that idea.
The point in time of life, my girl, is shit don't trick me.
I know.
Now tell me. If you know something, just don't say the words. I'll get done. If I ask me it happened, you need to tell it. Because if something did happen to the baby, and they get it, you can put the rest of your life. Child molesters and somebody harms your babies, their life is living in hell prison.
I've told them everything I know.
No, I'm telling you.
I've told them.
Am I right or wrong? You're right.
They then had Megan go over details and dates to nail down a specific timeline, and listening to Megan concoct such details and elaborate stories that we now know are false, and it's really chilling to see. After a brief break, we came back to view another interview conducted on a different day with Lieutenant Price and Megan. They're still trying to make a concrete timeline since Evelyn went missing. There was a pretty heated exchange, actually, where Price begins calling Megan out for discrepancies in her story, especially because there was evidence of her and Hunter being with Angela during the time that Megan claims that Angela had Evelyn.
You're not out here doing all that you can to find your daughter. It's two reasons. You know where she is or she's dead.
And another thing, some of this is bullshit that you're saying right here. Say you can't find mom and she won't tell where she's at. You're not looking for her, but you just, after all this, you're with her, right? Hunter, and your mom go to the Lone Rock, North Carolina, and you said this receipt is from where you and your mom and Hunter were there. So where's Evelyn there, darling? Where is she?
Mom would not tell me. I told her.
So you went along with her?
You went with
your mother on a trip to Blown Rock to go fast around, and your little girl, you don't know where she's at. Is that what you want me to believe?
I'm being honest.
That's not what I asked. You went, you've got detail after detail after detail after detail of this little girl. Her whole entire life. You can tell us specifically to the day, to the hour of what was going on in your child's life until here.
When Megan said that she's finally being honest, Price didn't mince words and said, quote, bullshit, end quote. At that point in time, it appeared as though Hunter believed Megan was pregnant with his child, and they began going to look at apartments together. And when applying for one apartment, they wrote that there would be three residents. Agent Gratz, who we heard from before, said, quote, you go out hunting for apartments and not for Evelyn? For you, Hunter, and the new baby. He put on the application that three people will live there. That's the three of you, the new baby. Evelyn's hung out to dry. That's why in my heart, I believe Evelyn is dead, or you know where Evelyn is, end quote. Megan coldly replied, quote, I don't know where she's at. The last person I knew had her was my mom, end quote. Not even addressing anything else he said, like apartment hunting for the new family without Evelyn. Gratz then said, quote, well, here's the thing. Your mom's hung you out to dry. There's something you're not telling us. I mean, do you not care about her? End quote. And Megan said, quote, I do care or else I wouldn't be up here. End quote. And he said, quote, bullshit. You don't care about her. She's been gone for how long? You never picked up the phone. You never called DCS. We're months behind finding her. There's nothing more we can do for you. You're going to go home while we're looking for your baby and not care. That's all we can do, end quote. At that point, Megan started becoming more defensive as the investigators were calling her out on all of her lies, her bizarre behavior, her seemingly not caring about Evelyn's safety, and she just developed this very condescending attitude that was pretty hard to watch.
Whatever Evelyn is, whether she's alive or whether she's dead, you're at peace with it.
I'm not at peace with it.
You don't show it.
Just because I'm not crying all the time.
I'm not saying crying all the time. It's a lot more than just crying all the time. I mean, like I said, I'm a parent. I have three kids of my own. If one of them, and they're older, if one of them were gone, you couldn't tie me down anywhere because I would be out if I was on foot in the snowstorm looking for them. But not you. You're out here at Bowman Raw, Ripley's Aquarium, going to pick up Olive Garden. Life is normal for you. She's gone, and you're at peace with it.
I know. It wasn't exactly normal.
You're at peace with it. You're with Hunter. You're with him, doing your thing with him, running around here, going places.
That does not mean I was
at peace with it. And Evelyn's gone.
That doesn't mean I was at peace with it.
How is it not? Because you were there. Not here with her. Not looking for her. You were there with him. Are you at peace with it?
No!
What are you not at peace with?
I don't have my child.
We know that. I'm just sitting here trying to figure out what looks the worst. I can't tell if it's the fact that you're going to Ripley's a week after your child's been missing 5 days, or the fact that you're picking up food provided for somebody else, some random dude, basically.
No, he gave me the money.
Okay. But you're going to get it and got it for him.
I was in Kingsport.
Whatever. You ain't got it for him. Could have been looking for Evelyn. You're providing for somebody else. You're coming to care for somebody else now. Blowing Rock, however long we spent there. You got Hunter's insurance in that box, in your baby box.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with. Like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
After the video, the defense attorney, Scott, asked Lieutenant Price if he's sure they Mirandized Megan before each interview. He said they did, and it seems as though Scott was trying to cast doubt on their process and making sure that the interviews could be used. And then Scott asked if Price had any interaction with Hunter Wood, to which he replied, no. Scott brought back up Hunter's mental health problems and if Price believed that would affect how they investigated the case. Attorney Scott seemed to want to push the issue that Hunter and his mental health weren't looked into further. Next on the stand was state's witness Jay Quintance, who is an employee for the local news station WJHL. Jay explained that one of his reporters interviewed Megan during the time Evelyn was missing and that they turned over the raw footage to law enforcement. At that point, they played the raw footage, which was used prior to editing and airing the TV on interview.
Obviously, today we are seeing videos of Evelyn. Mm-hmm. First off, tell me what kind of little girl she is.
She's very sweet. She loves everybody. She's never been mean ever, which I'm very thankful for. She's just a really good-hearted baby in general. Like, textbook, how you want a baby to be, like, has every milestone early, you know what I mean?
And speaking of that, tell me what kind of things does she like? What kind of milestones has she been hitting recently?
Well, when she was 6 months old, she actually put a bottle on her own and went straight to a sippy cup. She started walking probably around like 10 months. That was kind of hard, though, because she's like not like small as in like underfed, you know what I'm saying? But like she was a preemie when she was born. She's like a smaller baby and she kind of had trouble like balancing her weight, but she finally got the hold of it. She's starting to say a lot of words and, you know.
Tell me what kind of things she likes to do. What kind of, is she into any
sort of
TV shows?
Only Baby Shark.
And writing in a car.
Yeah.
She loves to be in the car.
We went to Texas to see her dad, Ethan, and she slept the whole way there. Like, I had to make her wake up to eat and stuff like that. And that's like a 24-hour drive there.
So, let's get into the last time you saw her. Tell me what that time was like and when that was.
Well, actually, I want to talk about that. I've told TBI where to find her in Mendota. My mom took her to a campground and a silver camper, and if they don't go tonight, I'm going to go find her myself. Because I've told them and they're not really like taking it seriously, and if they don't go tonight, like, I will go myself and go get her.
Tell them why they're not.
Don't get into that.
It's cut.
Stop.
No, you need to defend yourself.
That's all they need to know. Quit.
They already know, Megan.
The last witness on the stand was an employee for another local news station called WCYB-TV named Keith Wise. His station covered the Evelyn Boswell case, and a reporter interviewed Megan outside of the police station, the one where she claimed to be submitting to a polygraph. Well, they played the raw footage from this interview, but didn't have any questions for Wise.
How old is she now?
She's 15 months today, actually.
Can you tell me a little bit? Like, so you said she's very sweet. Is she sweet with everybody? Or just
she is. She loves everybody.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about, like, how you're feeling? Do you miss her? Are you worried?
Of course I miss her, and, like, I can't tell anything about the ongoing investigation, but they are. I'm sure you all have released an article about the car and stuff like that, so we have a pretty good idea of who has her. I mean, if they're watching, I just want to bring her back.
Is there anything you'd like to say to them if they're watching?
I just want her back. Yeah, that's my child. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I know this must be hard. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about her? Do you have any pictures of her? Have you been looking?
Not on me, no.
Not on you? Have you been looking at photos and stuff of her while you're... How are you coping with all of this?
I just want her back.
If you could tell her anything now, what would you say to her?
I love her and I miss her, and I'll be with her as soon as I can get to her and what I can.
After this footage, court ended for the day. We'll continue to bring you recaps and updates as this trial unfolds. This is Lauren signing off at Hidden True Crime.